speaking today with Gordon Kwan, who is running for Harris County Judge this November. Gordon, first question I'd like to ask is, why are you running for this office?
You know, Charles, I thought about this very seriously because I'd seen some of the frustrations other county judges have had, and I wanted to understand the dynamics. I think I can make a difference. As you know, we have two Democrats and two Republican commissioners. There are a number of issues that have been stuck, in my opinion, with the county, such as public defender's office, reform of the jail, looking at sentencing guidelines, addressing the issues of homelessness. And I think that I can make a difference. I had a long discussion with Sylvia Garcia, and she was saying to me, if we could have that third vote, we could really move things along in Harris County. And so I was willing to take on that challenge because I think I can make a difference in moving this county forward.
Okay. Well, obviously, you know, we're in tough economic times, and the first challenge you would be faced with would be budgetary. In fact, as we speak now, the commissioners are considering various cuts to the county budget. Give me your assessment of the county's financial situation and what you think needs to be done to, you know, stabilize the finances and, you know, get the budget balanced.
Well, you know, one large part of our budget is the sheriff's office and the jail. That's one third of the county budget. And what I see is that we have a revolving door of the same people over and over coming through that judicial system. 80% of the people in our current jail have been there before. I mean, the recidivism rate is through the roof. If we can look at how do other counties and other jurisdictions address that, I think that we can save money in the long run. I know working with the Coalition for the Homeless, oftentimes people go to jail just because they have no other place to go to get medication. As you may also know, currently the jail is providing more drugs for persons with depression and with mental illness than any other facility in the whole state. How do we look at these in a more practical way to address problems of drug addiction, of homelessness, of mental illness, so that we don't have to use our criminal justice system to rotate people through? Our facilities are overcrowded. We're having to send people to Louisiana because we don't have enough space now. I think that we could do things in a proactive way that would, in fact, save the citizens money as opposed to just doing the same old thing over and over. That, I think, is one of the main things. The second thing is, how do we bring more business into the county that can actually create more jobs, increase our tax base, things of that nature? As you know, I've been practicing immigration law for over 30 years. We're currently working with one Chinese company that's looking to build a steel plant in the Ship Channel area that would create over 300 high-paid jobs for U.S. workers. I think, and I've talked about this in my announcement, that I think we have this cultural infrastructure that we can work to bring in more investors here into Houston to talk about what a great county Harris is for doing business. It sometimes appalls me that every time I drive on 59, I see that sign, Fort Bend, open for business, you know. It's like, what the heck, Fort Bend? I mean, how up there? How about Harris County, you know? I also think that in working in other cities, I mean, we have offices in the Rio Grande Valley, in San Antonio, and Austin. I see San Antonio seeking to attract business from Mexico. Casa San Antonio is a great magnet and also an incubator for people who want to do business from Mexico into San Antonio. We can do the same thing here. I see the McAllen Economic Development Corporation, how they've worked together with the cities of in McAllen and trying to work out economic development packages. You know, on City Council, one of the frustrating things we had was that when we tried to attract businesses, it was like, well, what kind of deals can you do? Well, everyone was a separate deal, and it was like there was no uniformity, and nobody could make a commitment on anything. You know, I think that we can work together in attracting businesses to our region, both the large businesses as well as the small businesses. Our firm set up the only economic regional development zone for immigration in the state. It's over here with the old Chinatown area, East Houston. And we're looking to attract a lot of foreign investment to this area to help build the Dynamo Stadium, to build a new hotel, to revitalize that whole area. That same concept could be spread throughout the county. So those are some of the things I think, as far as tough economic times, yes. How do we use our money wisely? That's one thing. How do we attract more businesses to grow our base? That's another thing. And third, I think I'd like to talk about how do we cooperate with other regional governments. You know, Anise Parker addressed this in her speech, and I've always thought it was interesting that we have county libraries and city libraries. We have, you know, our clinics and our hospitals, and are all people don't know who's who. And if we could collaborate in a more user-friendly manner, maybe they build the buildings and maintain the facilities. We operate the library staff. That we could leverage funds together. It's been said we should not be growing horizontally, but vertically. How do we integrate our systems together to get the most efficiency for a declining tax dollar?
Okay. Let's go to your first point. You know, well, obviously, one of the stumbling blocks to kind of criminal justice reform you're talking about is the fact that it's not one entity that's responsible for it. You've got the sheriff, you've got the DA, you've got commissioner's court. Right now, there is a select committee that's been set up, chaired by former district judge Caprice Cosper, to kind of look at how Harris County can, you know, deal with the jail overcrowding and maybe do some of these things more efficiently. What's your assessment of how this task force is operating, and, you know, where do you think they need to go?
I think it's a first step. I mean, I think that the Justice Management Institute that's come out with an evaluation of the system has proposed a number of good changes. I haven't seen them implemented yet. I mean, it talks about an independent crime lab, a DNA lab. This is something that the district attorney has talked about, but I haven't seen that moving forward. It talks about a public defender system. You know, there's been talk of that, but it hasn't been moving forward either. I think there's a lot of ideas that have been proposed, but I haven't seen much action at this time.
And, of course, you know, another issue is, you know, has to do with things like the bail that is set by the judges.
Correct.
What influence can a county judge have over that?
Well, I think that this this coordinating board that you talk about is something that we can begin working with. You're right. I think Caprice Cosper is a person that's well respected by a number of the judges, and that we have to obtain the cooperation of everybody in the system, including the judges, to look at how do we set these bail bond amounts, and how do we also assign prisoners. There are some state prisoners that should be in state facilities that are being held in Harris County facilities because they can get out faster. So we need to make sure that responsibility is with the right agency and the people are going the right direction. I think that we have a number of elected officials who would like to cooperate and get this thing done, but it takes leadership, and I think that's where the county commissioners and the county judge plays an active role.
In 2007, the voters rejected a bond referendum that would have been used to build a new jail facility. At the time, I think, and you mentioned this in your campaign kickoff speech, that people rejected it because they felt like, you know, that the justice system wasn't doing a good enough job with what it had. Where do you stand on, you know, on this now? Because they are looking to try this again, perhaps pitched in a different way.
Well, I think that if we were to go forward with the new jail, it's still going to. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, these things take about 3 or 4 years to build. So I think that we can multitask and work on the present suggestions raised by the report by JMI, and at the same time look to build a facility that works for everybody. What I mean by this, that is this. As a city council member, I toured our city jails. They are in deplorable condition. As you know, we are under court mandate, and we have to report every so often. There's a supervisor who's looking at our jails. I once had an opponent who ran against me, and he called himself Jailbird Jack Terrence. And I said, why do you call yourself Jailbird? That doesn't sound like a very appealing name. And it turns out that he had been arrested and was sent to the jail. And he found the conditions so deplorable that it led him to run for city office. So I went to the jail with him to see what the situation was. And he was right. The toilets were terrible. The water wasn't running. I was appalled. I went back to the mayor and said, Mayor, what the heck are we doing here? You know, we need a new jail. This jail was built in the 1950s, and it's far outdated and overcrowded. And the way we process people there and then move them to the county...
Are you talking specifically about the city jail?
City jail. And the city is the biggest user of the county jail. Okay, most of the arrests are done by the city police officers. So he said, no, we're going to work together with the county, and we're going to build a joint facility where we can process at one place, and we don't have to transport the way we've been doing. So... I still see a need for a better facility for people to be housed in, but also I also believe that those facilities can be used for treatment. You know, I see the sheriff proposing more treatment facilities through the new facility, a consolidated booking system where everybody can be booked at one place. I see that that would be something we definitely need. Now, how do we fund it, and we can't build it tomorrow. It's not going to be up that fast. We need to address the concerns that we have today with the present system. Plus, we need to be looking into the future of how do we address a long-term problem. One of the proposals is a potential TERS that could be created to help fund the jail in that area, with North Houston being the tax base. So I'm looking at how we can get these things done on a long-term basis. And I think those are things that need to be done to be fair to everyone.
Now, your previous experience in government was as a member of city council. What is your assessment of how the city of Houston, as a government entity, works with Harris County? My impression is that there's a certain amount of antagonism, that the two don't perhaps work together as well as they could. What do you think?
That was my impression also when I was on city council, that it just seemed like there were territorial fights, that there were a lot of egos that have a long history of somewhat acrimonious relationships. I hope that can be put in the past, and that maybe out of the fact that we are looking at budget shortfalls, that we can say, hey, let's work together more. We can't do it alone, but we can do it cooperatively. So I'm hoping that we can bury the hatchet and move forward. For a long time, it was hard for a city person to get elected to the county position. Sylvia Garcia kind of broke that mode. I'm hoping we can also do the same. 56% of the county is the city of Houston. So it seems like there should be a fair amount of money that we could spend cooperatively because we have such common territory.
Okay. Mobility and transportation is, of course, a big issue in the county. Right now, for example, there's a study going on to assess the feasibility of Houston-Galveston commuter rail. It's kind of limited in scope. Some people think maybe it's too limited. But sort of more broadly, what is the county doing in terms of regional mobility, not just commuter rail, but other things? And, what do we need to be doing more of?
Well, I was always a proponent of multimodal transportation, and I'm encouraged by heavy and light rail being expanded throughout the county. I feel like that it's the only reasonable way to go. I think there's good promise, but it's just the beginning. I've been encouraged by some of the ideas, and... actually, I was taken back that Steve Radick had proposed that rail system to Brenham through 290, and I thought those are great ideas. I mean, I want to get more involved in the creation of the Gulf Coast Rail District. I think is a good step toward that. I believe the current judge has not been as supportive of Metro as I probably would want to be. But, you know, I believe that sometimes it takes courage to say which is the best route to go, and you gotta go with what serves more people. I for once have supported Richmond Rail.
Okay. I mean, it seems that one of the problems in thinking regionally about transportation is that, you know, the region encompasses multiple multiple counties and multiple transportation agencies. The Chronicle recently had a story about some new bus systems set up in southeast Houston that, you know, don't interact, you know, don't connect with Metro. You know, the Gulf Coast Rail District, you know, is being used as a vehicle for this study, but it doesn't really have a whole lot of power or budget right now. You know, what do we need to do to improve, you know, the way the greater region deals with transportation issues? Do we need to set up a different regional authority? Do we need to expand Metro? What do you think?
Well, I previously served on the Transportation Policy Council with the Houston Galveston Area Council and looking at overall plans. And I'll tell you, I mean, it's tough because you have so many, the 32 cities, you know, in Harris County, as well as so many different agencies, TxDOT and others working on these issues. But I found that there was a really good brain trust there that could help coordinate these things, that have, you know, very strong transportation backgrounds. I think that I would like to see more coordination. Like I said, I think HGAC would be one place I'd look at initially to see how we can do that.
Okay. We were fortunate in 2009 that it was a almost non-existent hurricane season. Obviously, that wasn't the case in 2008. But what is your assessment of the current state of hurricane and emergency preparedness in Harris County, and where do you think there are opportunities to do better?
Well, I think there are lessons learned, obviously, by what has transpired, both with Rita, Katrina, as well as with Ike, you know, about reversing lanes and things of that nature. I feel that there's two or three things that I really feel like we need to be looking at better. An outlying shelter program where people can go and be housed without having to drive to Dallas or Austin or San Antonio. I know when I was on council and Rita was approaching, we had all types of maps as to what the probability of that hurricane hitting Houston and what the worst damage would be if it was a Category 5. We knew that even if it came straight down the Houston Ship Channel at a Category 5, it would only reach maybe the Gulf Gate Mall. And so the panic that ensued with people fleeing was, you know, as you know, led to more deaths than the hurricane. Personally, I saw my parents being on the freeway for like 12 hours only to get to like Derry Ashford and coming back. And I mean, they were older adults and it was strenuous on them. I'd like to see shelter programs set up on the perimeter. I'd also like to see more a network that reached into different languages. There's a study recently being put together looking at how well do we reach all the different ethnic communities within our area, and that many did not know where to turn to for information during the emergency. Their English language abilities limited them on that. So working a network through different avenues and channels. And one thing I'd like to also investigate, and maybe this might seem kind of unusual, is use of high-rise buildings on the perimeter. You know, for a high-rise building to be built, it has to meet certain hurricane standards, or else it can't even be constructed. I know with our office, we had opened our office to some of our own staff members who felt like their homes would not be secure if a hurricane were to hit, because our building was built to certain standards.
Okay. you know, an issue that came up in the mayor's race had to do with the financing of the stadiums, Reliant and Minute Maid and Toyota Center, that, you know, the way the package, the way the finances were packaged, you know, the obligations were at this point not, you know, the money wasn't there to meet them in the way that was originally envisioned. What's your assessment of that, and you know, what does the county need to do to ensure that the promise that, you know, no taxpayer money would be used can be kept?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I was on council during some of that time on the stadium deals, and I know I, for one, worked very hard on the Toyota deal because I didn't like the first financing plan because I thought it put too much burden on the taxpayers and we had to get the Rockets to come up with more money. As far as how we can make up the deficit, I'd like to look at how the refinancing, what refinancing is available. Let me just say that right now, I've been appointed chairman of the TERS 15, which covers the area for the new Dynamo Stadium. And as we're looking at financing there, we're looking at actually attracting foreign investors who will be willing to invest money at a lower rate of return to help finance the stadium, to take a lot of burden off of the of our taxpayers. I would possibly look to that as another alternative, but I'd have to see how we could structure it. I know we're right now in delicate negotiations on getting this thing finalized, but those are the things I'd look at. What the market, I know when I was at the city, one of the things we did a complete overhaul of our debt, and we were able to get at lower rates to ease the burden on our taxpayers. But I'd have to see what the money market is and the right the opportunities for refinancing, as well as what foreign markets might be willing to invest.
There was a recent report in the Chronicle that the county was not perhaps fully funding its pension its long-term pension obligations. Can you speak to that?
Just very briefly, I know that this is a problem all virtually every municipality and every government is having on these pension problems. I'd like to look at the. I have not had a chance to look at all the figures to understand totally the situation. I mean, I don't want to tell you I know how to fund it at this point. When again, 99% of the governments in the country are trying to figure out how to fund these things. So I'd like to see what financing other entities have used to get around this issue as well.
Okay. You know, you have an opponent in this primary. When voters in the Democratic primary go to the booth on in March, why should they vote for you to be the nominee for county judge?
Well, you know, I feel like I have lived virtually all over the city, and I know the problems of the city, and had the privilege of serving in public office previously, and had an opportunity to work with many citizens and many people in government. And I think that I could be more effective as the county judge, and certainly, therefore, as the nominee of the Democratic Party for this position. I grew up in the East End. I mean, I've lived in this city, this county, for almost 60 years. And so growing up in the East End, living in Spring Branch, later on working in the Fifth Ward, working in downtown, working in Southwest Houston, I mean, I think that has given me a good knowledge of our area. Secondly, having worked as an immigration lawyer in the past 30 years, I've seen the changing diversity of our city. And I think that I have an opportunity to tap into resources that others may not have. I've seen people come into the city with virtually little and have now become very successful entrepreneurs who want to give back to the city. they're looking for avenues to channel the philanthropy and their participation. And I think I can provide that.
Okay. Gordon Kwan, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Anytime.